There's a little confusion this week about my title for my sermon, and it was completely my fault. I don't know if y'all know too much about me, but I really don't do a whole lot of titles for sermons. I just open the Bible and preach sometimes. I'm not really a title. I don't have a file drawer with all my sermons in it and all of that stuff. No offense to people that do, but I just don't. I've never done it. But it's really hard to make a graphic to promote without some sort of title. You can't just have Pastor Seth, TBD. You know, it just doesn't really work too well. And so tonight, the sermon first started as Gone Fishing. Then Sunday morning, I changed the title to Going Fishing. Then I looked back at my notes and it was Gone Fishing, but Doug said he wouldn't change it. So it's Going Fishing. If you're taking notes tonight, the sermon is called Going Fishing. And the text is John chapter 21. And we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 17. It's a lot of scripture, but we're in big church, so we can handle it, right? Amen. I got 4 points, no poem. And we'll see what goes from here. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Verse 1 says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples. Verse 3 says, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing at night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, saying, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Verse 17 says, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked a question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. May God really add the blessing to his word. We're going to look at all these. I'm going to chop them up, and we're going to make it easy for you to eat and digest and all this stuff. I do want to say thank you to everyone that's been praying for my family, that my Aunt Judy, who lost her house, and my father-in-law, who is... I want to say in Jesus' name, recovering from bone cancer. He's still really struggling, but he's recovering from bone cancer. His better days are better, and his bad days are less. And so he also said, sometimes you have to fake it a little, because he had some grandkids there, so he faked it a little. He faked it, he was better a little. He combed his hair, he did his, and he felt better. Sometimes you got to fake it a little. Just saying. When you don't feel like you can do it, sometimes you just fake it and Jesus can make it. That's all I'm saying. You know what to do. Just do it. Even if you don't feel it. That's for free. The first thing that the disciples did is they were fishing for comfort. First point. You can write it down. Please write it down. It made me feel so much better that I actually went through all this. They're fishing for comfort. It's an F and a C. I mean, I'm trying. Ronnie's pleased with me. He really liked my text. I got to thinking about this, and the reason I went to John 21 was because we just finished Easter. I knew we were going to be coming off of Easter, and I knew that Easter is, like Pastor Ronnie says, it's Super Bowl Sunday in the church world. My personal opinion on that is every day is Easter. We serve a risen Savior. He's resurrected all day, and the very power that resurrected him lives in me. And so I'm living Easter Sunday every day, but some people don't believe that way, obviously, because they don't act that way. And so I believe that you act the way you believe. You don't just say what you believe. You can really see it by what you do. And so Easter to me is a day that I get to really show love and grace to people, and we really need to go all out, because you never know what moment might be the moment that changes people and changes them forever. And so that's why we do it. Some people say we shouldn't have to do that. Well, no, we shouldn't have to do that, but we should do that. If they're here, we should really go after them. And so I got to thinking about, you know, Jesus resurrected. This is the third time they had seen him. This is one of the third times. So they went fishing for comfort in John 21, 1 through 3. In verse 3, Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples said, "Let's go." Fishing was comfortable for them. And so they were fishing for some comfort. I don't know how you feel about it, but if you're in a life group and the teacher doesn't show up, this is kind of what was going on with them. They'd been in a 3-year life group and the teacher wasn't showing up anymore. And they were having to figure this thing out. And so if the teacher doesn't show up, what do? Do you just sit around and talk, or does somebody take a step and do a life group? Or just possibly, you know, something's happened tragic in your life and you've kind of gotten out of the habit of going to church. What do? You just go back to whatever's comfortable. And I think people, you might be watching online, you might be in here, you're kind of stuck in some familiar. Jesus is not as present as he used to be. And so you're going to where it's more familiar and more comfortable for you. That's what the disciples were doing. They just went to do what they knew that they always had done. So they just went fishing. There's some interesting things. Jesus called them to be fishers of men when he first met them. Well, they walked with him for 3 years, and then they went back fishing for fish. If you look back in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, it says, Jesus appeared to the disciples and he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then in John 21, they go fishing. I believe that that breathing on them was an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I believe it was peace for them. I believe that that's what you receive when you give your life to Christ, is you receive the breath of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And it's an indwelling spirit. But it's also a spirit that can let you go back to the comfortable. It can help you to just stay familiar. And I know this because I had that indwelling, comfortable, going to heaven Holy Spirit for a few years. But if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he says, "You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." This was after this. This happened after. Jesus told them this after the fishing date. After he had breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their lives were never, ever, ever the same. And you never, ever find the disciples ever fishing again. They never go back to the comfort and the familiar. It changes them forever. The indwelling Spirit is awesome, and it gives you peace, and you can make it through this world. But I'm telling you, life change happens when you open up to the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is absolutely what changed my life, and it'll change yours if you had never received it. And it's what makes us different. So, awesome. Thank you all for that. Never see them doing that ever again. They stayed the rest of their life intent on sharing the love of Christ, the message of Christ. Never again do we see them. Now, it doesn't say that they didn't. But I think if you look at their lives, they gave the rest of their life to the Lord. And they had the power to do it. See, I don't blame the disciples, and I don't blame anyone in here for not going after it, because without the power to do it, you just can't do it. That's just how it works. A couple weeks ago, I was upset. I was driving around, and I was looking at Jacksonville, and my aunt had a tree that was this big around in her house, and God had really protected her, and all the sheetrock fell everywhere in her house except for where she was sitting, and you know, God just really, it was amazing, amazing, and there's stories like that in Jacksonville all over, but this one mattered more to me because I actually was in there, and I could see the house, and because of the damage and the extent of how massive the tree was, we couldn't get some of the help that I thought we should get, some of the normal standard ways. We couldn't get the help. And so that Saturday morning, I was just driving around just kind of mad, just like, all these people are giving. I know people are giving. People are giving to Red Cross and giving all these. And my little Aunt Judy, who's, you know, crippled, and which I don't think that's a way to say, I don't think you can call people crippled anymore, but she's has a physical handicap, who's living by herself, and she house was paid off, and that's all she'd ever known was that little lot, and gone. Couldn't get anybody to help, and I was just upset. I was driving around, and I heard the Lord say, if people don't know the need, they can't respond. I was like, wait, what? Like, it's okay to be upset about it, but don't be so upset about it that it doesn't provoke you to action. Like, just share the need. Reach out. Well, I started to do that. I called a couple of pastors that I knew, and they were planning on coming and helping. I called my mother, who I always call my mother when I'm in trouble. When I'm upset, she's the person I can kind of vent to. She just happened to know somebody that did tree work, and the very next day, God worked a miracle and removed the tree. I mean, had people with excavators and bucket trucks and everything, just out of the grace of God and completely 100% free, came and just served my Aunt Judy and me too. And it was just awesome. And God said, if I know the need, and if you will reach out and touch who you know, then they can touch who they know. And because of the body and how the body works, then we can feel this need and we can fix this need with the body. And I'm here to tell you, if you've got a need and you're complaining to God about it, but you haven't reached out with it, then foul on you. Because if you have a need, share it. Share it. It's humiliating. It's humbling. It's hard. But if you don't share it, then people can't meet your need. And I've just been overwhelmed this last 2 weeks of how people meet needs in the body of Christ. And a lot of you are doing that. And you know, God provokes us to do whatever we're supposed to do. I'm not trying to provoke you to do anything extra other than reach out. John chapter 21, verse 4, Jesus, the disciples were fishing for a catch. They didn't just go out there to hang out and ride around in a boat. I'm not much of a fisherman, but I really don't like to fish if I'm not catching fish. Like, I like to catch. I don't like to fish. I'm no good at letting it hit the bottom and feel it and all that and get it. And I can't get all that. I can't, you know, bump my lunker lure on the bottom. You know, top water bait, buzz bait. I don't know any of that stuff. You know how I fish? A Zebco with a bobber and a worm. I'm still that guy. I will bait my own hook and I will remove my fish. But if it's not a crappie and it's not an unfortunate catfish that just doesn't know the difference, I'm not catching it. So I really don't fish much. These guys were serious. They were fishing for a catch. They were fishing with nets. They had went to work that night. And so they were fishing for a catch. And in verse 4, it says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. The disciples couldn't see who he was. He said, guys, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Verse 6 says, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. And they did. They couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple that Jesus loved, which is John, some Bible knowledge, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, jumped in the water, and headed to shore. Jesus gave him a catch. He knew what they were out there for. They were out there for something familiar. He had really caught them out there doing, you know, they were just where they shouldn't have been probably. He said, from now on you'll catch men. And they were back catching fish. They were right back where they were, and Jesus kind of caught them. I mean, just to be honest, anybody ever been there? You're right back where you wasn't supposed to be, and Jesus had already called you out of it and brought you out of it, and you've been out of it for years. And now when Jesus is distant, you're back in it, and Jesus shows up. What do we do? Ah, caught you. I'm going to tell Pastor Ronnie. I'm going to tell your life group. What does Jesus do? I think Jesus shows them grace and gives them a catch of fish that proves who he was. I think if we could get like that, when we see people that they're maybe not where they're supposed to be, and we can just still heap grace on top of them, that's when they're going to make the declaration and they're going to realize, oh, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I want when we reach out for people to not say, Abba's House reached out. I want them to say, it's the Lord. I want us to be that way. When we catch people in a place they shouldn't be, we should love them to Jesus. He also reminded Simon Peter of a time in his life where Jesus was so real, he couldn't do anything but drop everything. In Luke chapter 5, where Jesus got into his boat to preach and then said, guys, let's push out and catch fish. And that was such a great catch that they couldn't do anything. They brought all that fish in. And Jesus looks at him and says, now follow me because I have something better for you. And I think when John looked at Peter and said, it's the Lord, I think that he knew right then that he could not do anything but jump out of that boat and get as close as he could to the Lord. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Where the Lord just lovingly reminds me of a time that was so powerful and so awesome in my life that I can't do anything but try to get back there. I think it's okay that he reminds us. I think it's okay that tonight we sang some songs that were a little bit older songs. You know why? Because sometimes those songs are the ones that take you back to a place where Jesus was so real. Teenagers, one of these days, these new songs we're singing, you're going to be listening to them and people are going to be going, well, we got to do it for the young kids. If we're ever going to keep a church, we got to play some of this new stuff. Y'all are going to be like that one of these days. I know good, good father. It's already old to me, just to be honest. It's already old to me. Fishing for a catch. A couple of things that I wanted to point out that he did in Luke chapter 5. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." To me, that reminds, I think this entire thing was designed for Peter, and obviously it was. You know the story, most of you, John 21 is for Peter. But I believe that this was, Peter's response was not, "Please leave me now." I think the first time you get to know the Lord and you come close to the Lord, we have that, "Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do because I know that I'm such a sinful man." But when Jesus comes back into our life and we've been away or we've messed up, we all know that Simon Peter messed up because he denied Christ. I'm kind of, you know, getting to the end of my sermon, but what did he do? Instead of saying, "Leave me, I'm a sinful man," he said, "I got to get close. I can't wait another second longer. These fish don't matter. I was the one that said to go fish. I wanted to fish, but these fish don't matter. This stuff don't matter. This boat don't matter. The only thing that matters is me getting close to Jesus." Guys, y'all listen to me over here. Because I'm preaching good. I don't know if you're paying attention enough to get it, but I'm preaching pretty good. Just saying. Thank y'all. Some of y'all are in it. Some of the teenagers are like, "Ah." Maybe I have to get y'all. Says they left everything. Next thing they were doing, they were fishing for a cookout. What'd Jesus have for them? Verse 9 says, when they got there, they found breakfast waiting on them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Then Jesus said, "Bring me some of the fish you caught." Verse 12 says, "Now come and have some breakfast." A couple of things here. Jesus always addresses our physical needs before he really gets to the spiritual. And I think as a church, if we see people that come in with a physical need and we're not trying to help them, then, man, we're missing out. Which is one of the reasons that we need to be given more. Because if they come and we can't help them physically, they're not going to listen to us. I've always heard it, the Holy Spirit can't really talk over a growling stomach. It's hard. James talks about it. We need to meet people's needs. And what their need was right then and there is they'd been out all night and Jesus had prepared breakfast. He was ready for them. And I'm here to tell you this evening, Jesus is prepared for whatever need you have. He doesn't show up and not be prepared. And so he knew. He showed up, and guess what he had? He had the coals already hot, which meant he'd been there a minute. He already had bread, and he already had fish. Now, where did Jesus get fish? He was Jesus. He was resurrected Jesus. So he might have made a fish. I don't think so. Because I think God just said, "There's one." Fish rolls up. "Please use me. Even if it costs me my life, use me." Just saying. Seems like a sacrifice to a fish. He asked us to do the same thing. That fish is mentioned in the Bible. Just saying. And so what Jesus does is he says, "Here's fish, here's bread, here's fire. I have it all done. Bring me some of your fish." When Jesus invites us to join him, he doesn't need anything from us. He uses what we have because he delights in partnering with us. That was a quote that the Holy Spirit gave me today. So I'm going to say it again. It's on Instagram. You can go look at it later. When Jesus invites us to join him, he doesn't need anything from us. Instead, he uses what we have because he delights in partnering with us. You can see that all throughout Scripture when Moses is standing there and said, why would they listen to me? Who am I, God? And God said, what is that in your hand? The boy with the five, with the fish and loaves. He took what was in the boy's hand. Could he have made those people instantly full? Yes. He could have just made them not need to eat. But he took what was in the boy's hand and multiplied. I'm here to tell you today, if you have a need, look what you have instead of looking what you don't have. Because when Jesus calls for us to come to him, he does not call because he wants us to give him something. He wants to give us something, but he wants to use what we have to make sure that we're okay with giving him what we have. Because if we're not found faithful to give, then why in the world would he find us faithful to give us something? Everybody get that? He was ready. And I'm telling you, he's ready tonight to meet whatever needs out there. The last thing is Jesus was fishing for a confession. He came fishing for a confession from Peter. If you'll notice, it says after breakfast. Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. He says, then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. Then he says it a third time. And the third time it hurt him. I think it hurt him for a couple of reasons. Number one, he was calling him by his old name. He was calling him by the name that he had before Jesus had renamed him Peter. And on this rock, he called him Simon, son of John. He didn't call him Peter. He didn't call him Little Rock that I'm building on. He gave him a reality check. Without me, this is who you are. Without me, this is all you'll ever be. But with me, you're Peter. You're the one that I'm going to use to change the entire world. But without me, without this confession, without this restoration, you're Simon, son of John. He gave him an opportunity for restoration. And he didn't ask him, who did he say he was again? He didn't ask him who he believed. Y'all listen to me real quick, teenagers. God's not asking you every day, who do you believe in? He's asking you this, do you love me? In John 15, 16, he says, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, then my friends are the ones who love me. If you love me, then you'll love others. And if you love me, then I'll come and I'll be with you and I'll bring the Father and we'll all be with you and we'll make our home with you. And I'm here to tell you, it starts with, do you love him? Because if you love him, then you'll love everybody else. And you'll do the three things that he says. First, you're going to feed his lambs, which is to teach and prepare the young, new, vulnerable Christians, which are these babies and some of everywhere else. This is going to be honest. Maturity is not age. Maturity doesn't come from attending church for 70 years. Maturity comes from growing and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and serving and loving people, and that's how maturity comes. And so I believe that in every church we have 80-year-old lambs. And I believe we have 12-year-old sheep. I believe we have strong 12-year-olds who are mature, and I believe we have to obviously 12-year-olds that are baby lambs. Love them. Teach them. Tend them. The next thing he says, take care of my sheep, which is to tend, protect, and watch over the church. Watch over them. Give your life for them. When he says tend the sheep, he's talking about give your life for them, protect them, keep them, lead them into places where you can feed them, clean up after them, tend them. See, sheep can't clean up after themselves. A sheep untended gets all kinds of manner of grossness all over it, and it'll eventually just die. It'll wither away because it's so unhealthy. And the job of the shepherd is to tend that thing and to keep the, you know, it's gross, but keep the maggots out of his eyes and stuff. That's gross, but that happens. To clean up after them and never say, look what you did, sheep. Look what I did for you. The shepherd never does that. Well, you look what you did. There's no videos on Facebook of a man scolding a sheep. There's a lot about dogs, but would you look what you did? And the dogs are, it's goofy. It's inflection. Dogs don't know what you're saying. I'm just saying they don't. Hey, Shelby, I love you. Your dogs do, but nobody else's do. The last thing that he restores him with is he says, feed my sheep. And this was, I think, the threefold restoration which completely covered the threefold denial. I also think it was public because it had to be, because Jesus was going to use Peter as his mouthpiece and all those other men needed to hear it. And so tonight I'm saying this, where are we? Where are you? Which one of these are you? What are you fishing for? Are you just hanging out in the meantime? Are you just hanging out in a familiar? Like you've met Jesus and you know who Jesus is, but now you're just kind of just hanging in the familiar spot? You're back doing what you were doing? Because I'm here to tell you that Jesus has called us out of what we did do. And called us into what he wants us to do. And there's a simple way to fix that. And that is the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you can, the hardest thing to do is live the Christian life without the power to live it. You will absolutely wear yourself out. And you'll become religious. Because it takes a religious, structured life to live as a Christian if you don't have the power to do it. Which is why so many of our churches are filled with religious people that wouldn't spit on you. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Are you there? Because if you're there, the Holy Spirit is a gift that God wants to give. It's the power to live this life. Teenagers, it's the power to live it. Better than any scripture, better than any sermon, better than any prayer life, better than any worship CD, better than anything you've ever done, better than 100 years attending church, better than anything that's ever been done. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power is better than anything that's ever happened to me in my whole life. I'm just saying, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me because it gave me the power to live the way I wanted to when I had no way to live how I wanted to. I don't apologize for it anymore. I don't hide it anymore. I'm not a spy in the wilderness anymore. I'm in a church. I can talk about it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's awesome. And it's no, there's no like puzzle to unlock it. Ask, receive. Don't make it hard. Next. Maybe tonight you just need to be reminded of a time in your past where Jesus revealed himself in just an awesome way. Just like Jesus revealed himself and came on the scene and said, look at here, watch this. Here's all these fish. Remember what I called you to do. Remember what I called you to do. You're not where you should be. Remember what I called you to do. And I'm going to tell you something, I identify with that heavily. Because religion said, you're done, hang it up. But Jesus said, for I know the plans that I have for you, and my call is without repentance. Pick your head up. Remember the awesome things that I'm doing in your life. So no matter what you think, and no matter what you think may have disqualified you or discredited you, that under the blood of Jesus does not matter. There's restoration for that. Next, do you have a physical need? Is there something you need? Take an inventory. See what Jesus is asking you to give him so he can use it. Maybe God's wanting to see that you're willing to give him everything and then he can give you what you absolutely need. Because see, I'll tell you our need, everybody's need in here, I'm going to tell you. Our need is for us to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, Jesus, anything. Everything. And even though yesterday was probably maybe one of the toughest days of my life, today you can have today. And tomorrow you can have tomorrow. And the reason I say it like that is because you can't give him tomorrow if you're not giving him today. And it's good to say, I'm going to give him 3 years from now. Teenagers, I'm going to give him when I turn 21 and I get my job and I start having kids. We're going to get serious about this Jesus thing. But if you're not giving him who you are today, then you're not going to know how to give him who you are. You're developing patterns right now that can take you and take you away from all the world has to offer you and keep you in a place that absolutely protects you. We had stories of that in our story stuff, in our story times in January and February, where everybody kept saying, just wait till you get to this, and wait till you get to this, and wait till you get to this. But if you make the good decision and you stay close to Jesus, Jesus takes you around and he keeps your focus. So if you have a physical need, give him what you have. I tell people this all the time. If you need a job, volunteer somewhere. Because God will give somebody a job that'll work. If you'll work for free, God will give you a job where you get paid. But if you just sit around and say, God, I need a job, but you won't do anything or serve, then why would God answer that? Show him that you'll serve. And then he'll give you a job that's probably better than you ever would have imagined. Next. Do you need restoration? Have you denied him somewhere? Do you need restoration in your family? Do you need restoration in your life? Do you need restoration in your job, in your finances, whatever it is? Do you need restoration? Do you need restoration in your life? Because see, the ultimate restoration is Jesus in your life. Because until you've accepted Jesus, given Jesus who you are, then you're not restored to him. So I'm going to ask you to do this. If you need to give Jesus your life, tonight's the night. If you need to come back to him, tonight's the night. See, when Jesus restored him 3 times, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? And he said, feed my lambs, grace. Tend my sheep, grace. Feed my sheep, grace. And I'm telling you, if Jesus would have asked him 10 more times, he would have just kept pouring out grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And tonight, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you're doing or where you're heading or what you're facing or anything. There's grace upon grace upon grace. And that is this house. That's the heart of this house. And if you're not down with that, you're going to be uncomfortable at this house. So I'm here to tell you, we're here to live free and fully alive. And the only way to do that is to be able to live with the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. It's awesome for the staff to talk about it, but it works when we all do it together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk down front too. And if you need somebody to pray with you for any of these things, then I'll be down here to pray with you. If there's too many of us, pastors, y'all can come help. We're just going to play one song all the way through. We won't extend it. It won't be long. If you need a touch from the Lord, He's here. He was there. He already knows it. He was there waiting on Peter. He fed the whole crew breakfast just so He could restore him. And so this whole, everybody here, it may just be for one person tonight that just needs somebody to pray with you and say, you know what, you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Nothing has happened to you. It's going to slip up on God. And He's not disappointed. And He's not upset with you. He hadn't changed His plans. Maybe you're just in the meantime. Maybe you have a need. Can meet it all if you just give it to Him. So as I start to play, if you need to do that, you need to come. I guess I do need to ask a couple of pastors to get up because I kind of feel like people will move. But if you don't make me push you. If you don't move, that's fine. I'll just say this real quick. Beth's like, oh no. Here's how I really feel. My ego's not down here. My ego's not whether you respond walking down these aisles to this message. Because I would truly rather something happen to you on the inside. I would truly rather you make a decision on the inside than ever walk down and ask me to pray for you. If God's already touched you, then man, be touched in Jesus' name. And you can go and eat or whatever. That's the beauty of who Jesus is. He can touch you where you're sitting. You can lay hands on yourself. You're a priest in Jesus' name. You can lay hands on yourself. There's nothing special. But if you need somebody to agree with you, then absolutely let's do it. Is everybody with me on that? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all You do. And tonight, You've got the rest of the night. Touch people. In Jesus' name, amen. Dana, we're just going to sing through one song and if people move, then we'll keep going. If not, we'll...